Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to begin this day with open hearts, and may we have open ears as well and open eyes to see you. And may we praise you and honor you in this name. I think I said yesterday we do Psalm 8 today. I think we'll do that tomorrow or maybe the next day. But I just was kind of drawn to Psalm 19 today because it's got three questions answered that I think all of missions is involved with, of course. And number one, is there a God? And we have that in the first few verses here. And then assuming and there is a God, as we have through creation, through design, we have what is God like? And in verses 7 through 11, we have one of the greatest summaries of the Word of God that we have in the Bible, I think. And then the last three verses are, what is God's relationship with me? And I think that's kind of three of the questions that we need to address to the world as in our discipleship and in missions. And so that's where we're going to go today. And it begins with, the heavens declare the glory of God, so I thought we would sing, to God be the glory. And so the words are on the top there. Let's sing along, or you can listen however you would like. The first thing we see here in this psalm is the answer to the question, is there a God? And again, we have God demonstrating himself through creation as the answer to that question here. And we begin in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, or the expanse of heavens, shows his handiwork, or the work of his hands. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. If you're in the radio transmission business, you always have weak spots. You always have spots where the signal is weak or too low. But in here we see through creation, there are no weak spots on the face of this earth. There's no tribal group out there that doesn't have access to God through creation. Because there's no group in the world that doesn't have a sunrise and a sunset. There's no group in the world that can't, unless you're in Los Angeles, you can't see the stars, right? But through the light pollution of the big cities these days, you can't see the stars very well. But we can still see the sunrise and the sunset, can't we? And we see creation in everything. It's there before us. Their line has gone out through all the earth. All the earth. That's very mission conference oriented, isn't it? Through all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. We want to reach out to the end of the world. God's already reached there, and He is reaching there every day. And their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle. He uses the sun here as an example. He has set the tent or a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And rejoices like a strong man to run its race. If you've ever watched them getting ready to run, particularly a sprint, I think is even more exciting to kind of watch the preparation than a long run, because they are just bursting, ready to go, right? And that gun goes off and they jump out of the blocks like they can just, they're rejoicing to start, right? They don't always finish that well, a win or two or do that, you know. But here the sun is ready to come up. And think of the rays that come out before the sun actually comes up. And it's one of the most magnificent things, the sunrise and the sunset, that you could ever imagine, isn't it? But because God does it every 24 hours, we tend to, it's really common, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know how many of you get up early in the morning and watch the sunrise, but occasionally we do, don't we? Now, if we only had one sunrise a week, or one sunrise a year, or one sunrise in a lifetime, everybody on the face of the earth would be up to watch that, wouldn't they? So we see the sun rejoicing like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other. Of course, this was written 1,000 years before Christ, and even long after that. Now, there were some people that did believe and started to believe that there was the curvature of the earth, but they were still, even as late as Columbus this time, thought that the earth was flat, and you go far enough, you'd fall off the end of it. But here we see it's a circuit. It's circular. The rising of the sun gives the appearance of a circle, of a circular, to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. So that is God demonstrating Himself through creation that there is a God. Because you can't have the creation without a creator. And so all of those who deny God as the creator, they can't deny God as the creator based on the facts, but they can deny it as far as their belief, and they don't want to be accountable to a God, so they'd rather promote a lie than be accountable to God, right? And that's what we have to even today in today's schools in much of the world. We have evolution being taught as a fact when it is no possible way. If you look at the DNA, every one of you has 100 trillion cells in your body, approximately, 100 trillion. And in each cell, if you stretched out the information in that cell, it would go 4 to 6 feet. So the information in your body right now would go to and fro the sun over 400 times is the amount of information God puts in your body in these cells. And each cell is exactly the same in every one of your trillions of cells in your body, and there's no other DNA like that. There's no other cell exactly like that. So that's the beauty of creation. And when I was a little kid in school, they got to the simple cell and said, we don't have to worry about the simple cell. It's so simple, we don't have to explain it, right? It turns out the simple cell is the most complex thing in the universe. So that's the building block you have your body built on. And so God is this glorious creator, and you cannot deny that. And you've got a DNA that determines he created male and female, and regardless of what you think and where you'd like to be a man or a woman, or a man today and a woman tomorrow, your DNA doesn't change. God created you, and that's you. And you can't do anything about it. I mean, as far as changing it, really. You can tweak it, I guess, and mess it all up, but you can't really change it. So then we go on to, okay, if there's a God, what is God like? Well, we look to his word and see what he is like. And here we have this beautiful, beautiful summary. The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. And what does it do? It converts the soul. Converting the soul. That's the business we want to be in, isn't it? Converting. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I just love how God puts the understanding of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, and that's really independent of wisdom. It's independence of education. A totally uneducated person, spirit-filled, can understand the Bible much, much better than the wisest, most educated man in the world without the Spirit, right? As it says here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I don't know anything else in the world that's absolutely right except the Word of God. 100% right, no errors. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We want enlightening, we want clarity, we want to know what God's plan is for us and all. We get it through the Word of God because His commandment is pure, enlightening our eyes. And then the fear of the Lord. How important is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That's where we get into trouble with world leaders and all. They don't fear the Lord, right? And without the fear of the Lord, it's chaos and it's a train wreck, really. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And then the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Again, I believe the only thing that's true and righteous altogether is the Word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then moreover, two things here. Moreover, by them, by the Word of God, by these words, your servant is warned. And in keeping them and keeping the Word of God, there is what? Great reward. So when we say we believe in a Bible-believing, Bible-focused church, you can't really have a church of any other kind that's really in keeping with the Word of God, can you? Because this is it. This is it. 1,189 chapters, you know, 31,000 verses, almost 800,000 words in the Word of God, and that's God-breathed. And so this is all we need. He is, we don't need any more. We don't need another third testament or whatever. It's all right here, isn't it? And then, in that there is a God, and we're told who he is through his Word, the last three verses, I believe, are a relationship with me, question mark. What is that relationship of this God with me? Well, it says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. So this gives me the guidance I need to live the life the way he wants me to lead it, live it. And it says, keep back your servants from presumptuous sins. So we need that help in not doing presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me is his prayer at the end here. And then the consequence of that is then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So this beautiful psalm not only tells us there's a God, not only explains who he is, but it tells us what our relationship with him should be. And so one of the aspects of that relationship is prayer, is having that opportunity to speak with him, and we are invited to come boldly into that. And the last verse then is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So he is our strength and he is our redeemer. Beautiful, isn't it? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this beautiful psalm, Lord. And I pray that we would know it well. We would have it in our heart. And we could refer to it day or night, even without having to look at the page. So lead us now in this morning. And may we pray to you as you would lead us in prayer by your Spirit. And we would use this time effectively as we pray this day through. In Jesus' name.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin.
Sings my soul.
Father, we thank you that you are a great God. Yes. We stand in awe of you this morning, Lord, and we praise your name. Yes. Pray that your word will go forth today through each and every one of your remnant people around the earth in every tribe and tongue, that we would represent you as you would enable us through your Spirit. So, Lord, may this day be for your glory and your honor. Bless these people because they came, Lord. May your face shine upon each one. In Jesus' name,